Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
And good morning, church. It is so good to see all of you today. For those of you who are visiting with us for graduation Sunday, thank you for being here. We know it's going to be a wonderful time for our kids. We know that our school schedule was running about 2 weeks behind because we started 2 weeks late because of COVID in August. But thank God we're here. We survived, I think, the most difficult year ever. If you had to go back 100 years to the last pandemic to survive a year like this. But we thank the Lord that we're here and that we're safe and that we're sound and that God has kind of held us together. And we need to keep praying for our nation, for her healing. For the protection of our children as they head back to school in more capacity in September of this coming year. And again, just for us as we walk through this very difficult time. I want to call your attention to Acts chapter 3. If you have your Bible, if you want to put it up on your phone, that's okay. It'll be behind me here in just 1 second in the church. For those of you at home, we welcome you. We thank you for being with us this morning. We're going to be reading out of Acts chapter 3, the first 10 verses. I know we just sat down, but can we stand up together once again as a show of respect to God's word? Acts chapter 3, reading verses 1 through 10. This is the word of God. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple court, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather on this beautiful Sunday morning. In spite of the rain outside, we thank you that in here we can focus on you. And we do thank you for the rain. It reminds us of how you continue to pour out your blessings on all of us. We thank you that you continue to care and provide and sustain us. And now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we have spent in the worship of your amazing and holy name. I pray that it would rise to you as a fragrant offering. And now, God, as we turn to your word, we want to hear your voice, not mine. And we pray this morning that you would take a very imperfect instrument and allow him to communicate your perfect truth to all of us here this morning. Be here, Lord. Fill this place. Renew minds. Touch hearts, refresh souls. We pray all these things in the very precious and beautiful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. A shorter message this morning because we have a bunch of young kids over in RC Kids who want to graduate. But I wanted us to continue on our sermon series, walking through the book of Acts. And what you see here is very powerful. 2 weeks ago on the other side of Memorial Day weekend, we celebrated Pentecost Sunday. For those of you who might be a little bit unfamiliar with the term, Pentecost was the second of the big Jewish festivals, 50 days after Passover. It's important because during the Passover festival is when Jesus Christ was crucified. And so 50 days later, Jesus appears on and off to his disciples, kind of resetting some of them, such as Peter, reinstating Peter to be the leader of the disciples, and also just kind of reviewing some of the things they have seen for 3.5 years. But now they had kind of a new anchor for all the information and all the events that they had seen over 3.5 years. And so about 10 days before Pentecost, Jesus ascends. The disciples are told to go to the city, Jerusalem, and wait because there is power coming to them from on high. So they're sitting in this room and all of a sudden there's this violent wind blowing through there like a storm. And there's fire in the room and it rests on each of them. And they step out into the town square. You can imagine a festival in the ancient world. It wasn't like there was a mall to go to. Everyone's kind of lingering in the town square. And a couple of thousand people come to hear Peter, who begins to preach. Now, the powerful thing about that crowd is that half of that crowd had been there for Passover. And they were the same ones who shouted, "Crucify him," about Jesus. But now they're hearing about Jesus resurrected, Jesus ascended, Jesus glorified, and 3,000 people respond to Peter's message that day, and the church is born. So now in Acts chapter 2, at the very end of that chapter, there's a small little summary of what that church did. And there's four key things that they always talked about. They were dedicated to the apostles' teaching. In other words, they just told the stories again and again. There's nothing written on a piece of paper or on a scroll yet for them. They dedicated themselves to fellowship. In other words, they broke bread together. They were friends. They were sharing life together. And then they also approached the communion table together. They prayed. They went into the presence of God seeking His power to be able to live out this new life, this new faith that they had been given. And then they also love to dedicate themselves I named all four, to the breaking of bread and prayers, the same thing as fellowship. So here you have this early church who begins to slowly serve the poor and love people, and their numbers grow and grow. And then here is Luke, who is Paul's partner, who's writing down the book of Acts. He wants to show you the history of the church. And he says, you know, there's this one day that I want to share with you where Peter and John are heading into the temple. And so this first point that I want to share with you is a new opportunity. Here is Peter and John, and they're on their way to the temple. Very powerful that they continue to stay within the tradition of their old faith, what now becomes Judaism, the faith of Israel, different than Christianity. But they kept some of the habits, and one of the habits that they kept was going to pray. The Jews prayed at 9, at 12, and at 3. It's very interesting that they went at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because 3 o'clock in the afternoon is when Jesus says on the cross, "It is finished," and he breathes his last. So it's very powerful that out of the three times to pray, they pick 3 o'clock. And there you see the beginning of the separation, where they are beginning to separate things based on what Jesus Christ did and said. And as fate would have it, as God's sovereignty would have it, because there truly is no fate, there is God's sovereignty, here is Peter and John on their way to the temple to pray, and they're going to encounter this man. One point before we talk about the encounter with the lame man. Some people, when they meet Jesus Christ for the first time, they think that there are no more rules, that I've met Jesus, that I am saved, and it's just me and God now, and that would be incorrect. When you meet Jesus, more than ever, you want to go to church and fellowship with your friends, listen to the teachings, be able to worship as we just did a few moments ago. It doesn't become just a free-for-all. It doesn't become just a God in me and I do what I want. It's very powerful to see that Peter and John, even though they met Jesus and they were beginning to step away from the faith they had grown up with, nonetheless continue in the tradition of going to the temple to pray, to encounter God there. Meeting Jesus is not a license to do what you want. Meeting Jesus is not a license to just be on your own, just God and me. No, it's actually a call to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so here is this beggar. And I think we have a picture to show you of a current wall in Jerusalem and what probably was the actual gate. In the ancient world, if you had a handicapped person in your family, you would pack them up every morning, and you would take them to the temple. As you can see here behind me, for those of you at home, you could probably see next to me. This would be the Nicanor Gate, named after the man who brought the actual doors to Jerusalem. It was also called the Gate Beautiful. Why was it called that? Because it was covered with brass that came from the city of Corinth. And it was so shiny, and it looked so elegant, and it was so extravagant that they called it the Beautiful Gate. And it looked prettier than all the other gold and silver than there was all around the temple. This was the gate to come in from the east of the temple, just in case you kind of want to figure out where this gate is. And so this gate, just in case you're wondering, those doors, again, this is a model just kind of rendered from what we know from history. That door is 75 feet high. It's taller than the roof of the sanctuary here over us right now. Covered in this brass, beautiful gate, people love to enter through there to get a sense of the majesty of God's temple and of the place where they were. And so this man, you can imagine there as the doors that you see here behind me, a man kind of sitting off to the side, begging for food, begging for silver or for gold. As people went to the temple, they obviously felt a little more inclined, a little more in the mood to give. It gave them some extra points, they thought, with God. And so that's where you put your family member who was suffering from some kind of handicap or illness in order that they could get some money or some food to survive. And here's the contrast that I want to draw for you as we leave this picture here behind me for a second. There is this beautiful door worth, by our standards, millions of dollars. There is this beautiful temple surrounding, right, what would have been the place where they offered the sacrifices to God and where the priest went in to offer his worship. And here you have a beggar who is begging people for money and for food, standing next to a door that has no, that has like no monetary value because it's so valuable, millions of dollars. And there's the contrast that I want to draw for you. How many individuals in your life, maybe you're here today, and you sit in front of a door just like that? You have a home, you have the car, you have the clothes, you have the look of the family that has it all and has it all together, but all you truly are is a beggar asking for someone to come and heal you and restore you. It's all a show, it's all a facade. And here you have this man who is sitting in front of an incredible gate, but he's outside the temple. He's not able to go inside to be healed and to be restored and to be redeemed as he should. And so there's the contrast where a church, and I'll just use our church as an example, needs to reach out to those in need, needs to create a school in order to bless children and to bless families, regardless of whether they have the budget to do it or not. The institution that God has put on earth, the church, is meant to bless and to serve and to give themselves, even to when it hurts. But here you have the example of a man who is sitting there begging next to a building who will not help him at all. And so his hands are stretched out the other way. The building is behind him. All the riches and all the brass and all the gold and all the silver are behind him. But the institution was powerless. It was not interested in helping him. His own faith had let him down. So now he turns to Peter and John, who have a new faith, who have a new direction, who have a new destiny. And he's begging them for help. Don't be shocked and don't be surprised when God creates moments of intersection in your life. Peter and John went to the temple that day to simply pray. They were not expecting to find this man. There will always be beggars there. They were just going to pray and head back home. Now, to Galilee, they had kind of relocated to Jerusalem at this point. And yet God puts this man in their path that they would not think about themselves for a moment and think about him first and to bless him. So don't be surprised in your lives when you come to a moment of intersection, when you're kind of going about your business and you've got things to do and you've got a schedule and you've got work and you've got to worry about the kids and you've got to take care of things. And here God puts someone in your path that he wants you to pause, he wants you to focus on them, and he wants you to bless. So that's why this first point is called a new opportunity. Don't be surprised and don't be shocked when God gives you opportunities to bless another, to put someone else before yourself, that they might see him and not see you. Our second point this morning, a new purpose. I love it when Peter says this to the man. He says, they look straight at him. Then Peter said, look at us. Can you imagine that scene for a second? There is a man laying on the side of this massive, beautiful door. He's begging, begging, begging. And Peter kind of comes up, probably kneels down to be able to look at him and puts his face to face. And he says, look at me. And this is such a different Peter than the man that we just saw. This Peter is not afraid anymore. He's not running away from the authorities. He's not running away from the people who came to arrest Jesus. This Peter is not confused. Let me go fish instead of doing the ministry. And Jesus has to come to the lake shore to kind of redirect him. This is not a Peter who is now governed and managed by his guilt. Do you love me? Jesus says, yes, Lord. Do you love me? Jesus says, three, I love you for the three denials of Peter. This is a man who now is focused. This is a man who is now ready. This is a man who is now prepared to serve. Maybe you walk around confused. Maybe you walk around afraid. Maybe you walk around with shame and guilt, running the show in your life. And I'm here to tell you this morning that in Jesus Christ, there is freedom from that. In Jesus Christ, there is a new start. In Jesus Christ, now just like Peter, Peter has something to say, his testimony. God can take your life and God can turn it completely into something new and he'll give you something to say. Peter has something to give. He has the person and the name of Jesus Christ to give him because he knows where that name leads. Let me explain that for a second. There's a small little clue hiding in the text that we just kind of gloss over and we read over and it looks like something that we would never know is a deeper meaning. Two times the text says that he got up and he walked. And two times the text says that he jumped. And you're probably saying to yourself, well, this guy, has been laying there on the side of this door. And if we would have kept reading the chapter, he's been doing this for 40 years. Imagine 40 years of your life being carried every day and dropped off at a gate at 8 in the morning and being picked up at 6 o'clock in the afternoon by yourself at a gate. This has been his life for 40 years. And now all of a sudden, you have Peter who heals him, and he's jumping up and down. And you say, well, of course, wouldn't he jump up and down? Well, yes and no. You see, if we go back to Isaiah chapter 35, way in the Old Testament, prophet Isaiah is talking about this new creation that's coming, about a Messiah that would come and begin to change things, about a kingdom that would arrive and things would be made new. And one of the clues of that kingdom would be that the lame would begin to jump like the deer. Have you ever, for those of you who've been able to be out in the woods, have you ever seen a deer run by? Have you seen how elegant and swift and soft they move, especially when they jump over something? Beautiful animal, elegant, kind of on the movement. And the Old Testament says, and Isaiah is saying, the day that you see people who couldn't walk their entire lives begin to get up and walk and run and jump, that is a signal that the Messiah has come. That is a signal that there's a new creation starting. That is a signal that the kingdom has come. So this morning I say this to you, church, and for those of you who are visiting, things are not the same. The moment that they find an empty tomb, things are not the same. And the moment that Peter and John begin to heal people, the Apostle Paul would heal some as well, that tells you that the kingdom is beginning to invade our reality. History has taken a turn. It is not the same anymore. We can't just go on as business as usual. And that is why there are churches spread all around the world. And God has brought you this morning here for that purpose, that you would know that Jesus Christ changed everything, that you would know that Jesus Christ can change your destiny, that you would know that there is purpose and direction and healing and salvation and redemption in the name of Jesus Christ. One of the clues is already there. The lame begin to walk. The power of the resurrection, the power of an empty tomb, the power to overcome the cross is now spilling out onto people. And when resurrection power spills out onto people, people begin to be healed. People begin to be set free. Peter has something to say, and Peter has something to give, because he knew that the kingdom had come and he wanted to share it with this man. God doesn't just want you to walk, church. God wants you to jump and thrive and enjoy this beautiful life he's given you. I encourage you this morning, enjoy this beautiful life with the name of Jesus Christ over you. And that's how we finish. Did you notice that he didn't ask Jesus to be there? He didn't have some kind of spectacular light show like you see in so many churches. He simply took him by the right hand, the way he has seen Jesus do it to the young girl from Jairus, who he raised her from the dead. He always saw Jesus take people by the right hand, and he stands the man up, and all he gives him is his name. Now, let's clarify name for a second, because I don't want you to get confused. For those of you who have bought a home recently, for those of you who maybe even bought a car or leased a car, or the last time you bought a home or something, didn't you get tired of signing your name? How many times did they make you sign your name on these documents? You sign again, and your name is again. And I know that when I did that, car, house, by the seventh time that I signed my name, I was thinking, I wish my parents would have given me a different name. I'm sick of writing the same one over and over and over again. To us, a name is just to identify ourselves, to set you apart from the person sitting next to you. Not in the ancient world. In the ancient world, and now as you see here, to say someone's name was to bring their presence there, was to bring their person there, was to bring whatever power they had there. So in the ancient world, when you showed up and you spoke on behalf of King, whoever his name was, it wasn't that you were just kind of representing him, kind of like an ambassador in the United Nations. It was that the king was truly there. He was present in everything you said and everything you did. And so to speak the name of Jesus Christ is to ask his presence, his real presence to be there. To speak the name of Jesus Christ is to ask his true power to be there. To speak the name of Jesus Christ is to ask his true person to be there. And so this morning I say to you, speak the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over your life, that you would experience his presence and his power and his person. Speak the name of Jesus Christ over your children, that they would experience his power, his presence, and his person. As a church, we speak the name of Jesus Christ over you every Sunday, that you would know his power and his presence. that you would know his person. And parents who are here visiting with us today, I just want you to know something. We have a small school who is only 7 years old. It doesn't have all the bells and whistles. It doesn't have all the cool gadgets. It doesn't have any of the big buildings that you see in some of the magnet and charter schools. But we have something that they don't have. They can offer you gold and silver, but they cannot offer you the name of Jesus. And the one thing that we offer your children here, the one thing that we speak over them every single day, is the name of Jesus Christ. That they would know his person, that they would know his power, that his presence would be active in their life. So I say to you both as the pastor, and I say to you both as the director of the school, silver and gold we do not have, but what we do have, we give to you. We speak the name of Jesus over your children every single day, that they would know his power, that they would know his presence, and that they would know his person. And in this day and age, what better gift could you possibly ask for to be spoken over your children? Can we say amen to that, church?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for the gift of his name. We thank you that today, still today, when we utter his name, when we declare his name, his presence and his person and his power is present and active, protecting, guiding, sustaining, providing. Thank you that we can rest on his name. May we be a people who do not trust the gold and silver of this world. It comes and goes. That we would not put our faith in a home or a car, in a lifestyle and a status. That we would not put our faith in an economic system, in a government, in leaders, but that our faith would be in you. That we will look to you for direction and guidance and protection and security. That we will be grateful that every time we utter your name, your presence is real and active and alive. Your power is real and active and alive. And for that, we praise you and we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the children, the students that we're about to present in just a few moments. We thank you for the families and the homes that they represent. We ask a special blessing upon them all, that they would also have the name of Jesus spoken at home and over their lives, just as it is spoken here. We love you, Lord. We thank you for giving us Jesus, that in him we have newness, redemption, restoration, and salvation. And it can become real if we would speak the name of Jesus into our lives as we surrender our hearts to you and call you Lord and Savior. We love you, Lord. We thank you for Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.